Within the diverse, always-changing spectrum of Black American racial thought can be discerned two broad camps, the optimists and the pessimists, those who believe that Blacks are, or can become, members of the American family, and those who believe that Blacks will always be outsiders, those who predict that we shall overcome, and those who conclude that we shall not. 1. The fight at the founding of what became the United States of America made Blacks think about and act upon which outcome would offer a better future. A victory for the colonists with their libertarian rhetoric and entanglement with slavery, or a victory for the Crown, which was, in principle, indifferent to slavery but willing to free the colonists' bondsmen as a war measure. Keepers of African American memory have emphasized the story of Blacks making common cause with the rebels, hoping to elicit a recognition of African American contributions to the nation's founding in order to gain better treatment. Consider William Nell's Colored Patriots of the American Revolution, published in 1855. Nell sought to use the memory of Crispus Attucks and other Blacks who fought with the rebels to obtain from whites some measure of respect for colored folks whose forebears had helped the colonies secure independence. It should therefore come as no surprise that Nell ignored the Blacks who fled to and fought for the British. Pessimistic about their prospects in an America ruled by rebellious slaveholders, many slaves deserted their masters, including some of the most eminent of the founding fathers. Slaves fled George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, as well as James Madison and Patrick Henry. The British offered freedom to slaves who took up arms for King George. About 15,000 did so, while about 20,000 fought alongside the colonists. One who joined the British was a New Jerseyan named Titus. When he learned in 1775 of the British proclamation promising freedom in exchange for assistance in quashing the rebellion, Titus headed south to seek liberation. 3 years later, he returned to New Jersey, bearing the name Colonel Ty, and leading a band of fighters who struck fear into the ranks of rebel colonists. We know little about Colonel Ty's motivations. It is certainly plausible, however, that a driving factor was outrage at people like Thomas Jefferson, who championed freedom while simultaneously endorsing legislation to provide slaves as compensation to colonial rebel soldiers. After the Revolution, several observers concluded that Euro-Americans and Afro-Americans would never be able to coexist as equals. Thomas Jefferson held this view, declaring, "The two races, equally free, cannot live in the same government." Asked why he disfavored efforts to incorporate Blacks into the polity, Jefferson answered, "Deep-rooted prejudices entertained by the whites, 10,000 recollections by the Blacks, of the injuries they have sustained, new provocations, the real distinctions which nature has made, and many other circumstances will divide us into parties and produce convulsions which will probably never end but in the extermination of the one or the other race." Alexis de Tocqueville's prediction was similarly bleak. In Democracy in America, he forecast that the racial oppression of Blacks would remain a salient feature of American society even after the abolition of slavery. "I do not believe," he wrote, "that the white and Black races will ever live in any country upon an equal footing. But I believe the difficulty to be still greater in the United States than elsewhere." Why this distinction? In America, he observed, "The abstract and transient fact of slavery is fatally united with the physical and permanent fact of color. The tradition of slavery dishonors the race, and the peculiarity of the race perpetuates the tradition of slavery." Tocqueville believed that slavery had forever poisoned relations between Black and white. "You set the Negro free," he writes, "but you cannot make him otherwise than an alien to the European." Furthermore, he maintained that the baleful effects of slavery would persist not only in the South, where slavery was most deeply entrenched, and not only in the Northeast, where abolition gradually prevailed in the 3 decades prior to Tocqueville's visit, but also in those areas of the country where slavery had never taken root.